Hi, and welcome to Film Forums. I'm Richard Williams, creator of this platform, a place dedicated to the filmmaking community. We interview members of the film industry to find out what it really takes to make a movie, bring a script to screen, or secure that acting role. If that sounds good to you, please subscribe to us on YouTube and follow us on your favourite podcasting platform. Thank you.
Hi there, welcome to Film Forums. My name is Aisha Zbeli and I have with me two special guests today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Teddy Wong. I'm the lead actress, co-writer and producer of Takeout Girl.
And I am Hisani Johnson. I am the director, co-writer, producer, and a bunch of other stuff on Takeout Girl.
Fantastic. So again, in the same order, would you like to tell us a little bit about your background in filmmaking?
Oh, so I moved to LA for acting because I didn't really know anything else about entertainment. But when I got to LA, I really expanded my creative juices. You know, I thought that you could only write if you were, you know, if you went to school for writing, but that's not so. You know, many artists just what's in their heart, they just put it out there, you know, and then you just kind of develop from there. So when pretty much moving to LA, I found out that I had way more interest than just acting. You know, I love creating. I love creating art, producing, writing, and also acting and just helping out just to see a project come to fruition.
And I started making films when I was 12 years old. I have been making no budget films ever since. I am 38. And I think I've fallen in love with filmmaking because I lose myself in it. I don't consider myself a director. I consider myself a filmmaker because I have my hands on so many different aspects of the film. And I think that's the allure for me, is that it takes up so much brain power to be looking at the shot size, to be paying attention to continuity, to be paying attention to the dialogue, the acting, the shot movement, the focus, the set deck even. All of that is something that I take great pride in, and I believe it keeps me occupied, because without filmmaking as my outlet, I would have been destroyed by the events of 2020, for example. Just paying attention to, you know, the George Floyd situation, all of the violence against Asian Americans, all of the violence against Blacks, all of the violence against protesters in general, or, you know, Donald Trump. Like, when I'm on set, all I can focus on is the potential the story has for change and to serve our agendas. And I believe that's kind of my salvation at this point in life.
I completely understand where you're both coming from. I think that creatives, we are, you know, like Haiti was saying, naturally, we're creative people by definition. So we're not just stuck in one box, I think, you know, and being multi-skilled and multifaceted is really, really important as a creative and as a filmmaker. So could you tell us a little bit about what inspired this project and how you decided to make it, basically? How did you guys get together for this particular project?
So, you know, aside from the creative stuff, you know, I think artists always use material from our own lives to, you know, for the arts, right? So that's a common thing. What inspired me in terms of like the making of it was I was seeing a lot of my musician friends making their art, making their music without a cosign from somebody big or without the backing of a label. They were invested in their own career and they were branding themselves. And when I was seeing them, you know, just seeing their hustle like that, I was like, why can't actors, why are we waiting by the phone after an audition for a job? Like, why are we waiting on people to give us a job? We should be making our own movement. So that's how I really started Takeout Girl. And Lauren Lee, who plays Saren, my big brother in the movie, he introduced me to Hisani because he knew that, you know, we didn't really have much resources to work with, not too much of a budget. And he knew that Hisani, who has won awards for micro budgeting, you know, that he would be the man who can perhaps bring this whole vision alive.
And what about you, Hisani? The project, like, why were you interested? What was it that resonated with you? Obviously, it's a great story.
It was several things, to be completely honest. Her premise was really intriguing right off the bat, but it was meeting her. I never met a woman like her before, let alone an Asian American woman before. And I was like, she had this mix of characteristics that I felt were really screen worthy. Not just screen worthy, it was screen mandatory. I figured I can make a movie about her just folding napkins for 90 minutes and she would be entertaining because her character is that rich. So that was the initial catalyst. But as I started rewriting the script with Hetty, this amazing discovery started. We started stumbling upon these amazing discoveries where, although the story was about Tara and her family who are Asian American, I was able to pour a lot of the Black experience into it because we found that we were way more alike than one would presume based on paper, with her being Asian American female, playing an Asian American female in her 20s, me being an African American man in my 30s, what business do I have telling this story? Well, it turns out a lot, because our mothers had a similar struggle raising us and we were able to pour a lot of truth into that. We both knew poverty and struggle from a very intimate place, and we both were able to pour truth into it from that perspective, and we both had similar agendas in the messages we wanted to convey thematically and visually. So our truth thematically was poured into the film as well, and it was a wonderful, wonderful experience full of just discovering commonalities.
As hard as we work, we're never gonna make enough to do anything.
I was thinking that I can make more deliveries. Side hustle. Is it worth it?
Take out, girl. What is this?
Whatever you need it to be. Cops see me, little Asian girl. Ain't nobody checking for me.
I don't trust you, but Lalo does trust you.
I completely resonate with that, you know, because I always say, obviously, I'm quite clearly not, you know, not Black, right? But and to be honest, most people, they wouldn't even think that I'm a person of color. But at the end of the day, my dad is, you know, he's an African man, and he is, you know, like, when being here, we experienced a lot of racism. We experienced a lot of, like, just kind of being excluded, I guess, you know, being outsiders. And I think that what I would love to see more of is more people, you know, more POC people coming together and making films, because the socioeconomic structures that exist keep us all down in kind of similar ways, not exactly the same. Everyone obviously has their own experience, but, you know, like the level of racism that I experienced growing up in a really small Scottish town compared to, for example, someone much darker than me in a large metropolitan city, mine's was probably worse, you know what I mean, just because of the mindset that exists. But it depends on the situation. So I think that, like, when I read the release for this, I love the fact that you'd both come together to make this and, you know, to tell this story. And obviously, again, Asian American is something that we just don't see enough of on television, and certainly not in, I would say, in authentic stories, you know. I don't know if you guys would agree with that, but that's kind of my feeling on it. I was excited to see something different, you know. So, yeah, that's fantastic. So when you were developing your script, Hedy, how did you go about, you know, like working out how you were going to format everything and put it all together? If we look at it from a more technical standpoint.
It's funny because I knew exactly how I was going to start. We already have a vision of it. And I have so many scenes so clear in my head on why I want it there, you know, and we take a lot of, you know, moments of joy and pain from our lives and we just put it into our art. And that's what I did, because it's not just about the things I was dealing with when I'm, you know, in unhappier times, but it's also the moments of joy, you know, that also sticks with you too. So I didn't know how to write a screen or a screenplay or a script. I actually went on YouTube to look at the formatting and everything. But my script wasn't meant for a screenplay competition. It was meant to be given to somebody like Hassani, a filmmaker who can read my script and also see all the extra notes of the vision of why I'm writing the scene this way, or why I want the scene here, you know? And then of course, through our creative collaboration, he will be like, okay, this is cool. I get what you're saying, but we got to rework this. And, you know, and then it just stems from there. But I think as an artist, you know, you just do the best you can to communicate your ideas and your thoughts to somebody, you know. I began with an outline. So to the young writers out there, don't feel like, oh my gosh, I have to write 100-page screenplays. Like, nope, you don't. You start with an outline. You know, it could be 2 pages, 3 pages, or 7 pages. You just really have 3 acts, you know, and you fill in what you can. And it's okay if you can't, if you don't have all the pieces at once. That's fine. Just put in your thoughts and just develop it. And then once you have that outline, you could begin writing your script that way. So that's the advice I would give to young writers out there.
Yeah. So kind of just like bite size, piece by piece, until you get to that point. Yeah. And would you say that it was really, you know, crucial and important for you to, you know, to join forces with a really seasoned producer director?
Very, very much so. Yeah. Like I said, Lauren, you know, I was trying to get this made on my own before I met Hassani, and I pretty much, I didn't want to say give up, but I didn't see any good leads to make it because the story is so personal, and I didn't want to put some BS out there for, you know, to represent Asian Americans. You know, the story comes from a very real place. So that is what it is, whatever, you know, people think of the story. But in terms of, you know, just making it right, I didn't have anybody to make it right. So I kind of shelved it. And Lauren saw me shelving the project. And then one day he was like, you know, and then Lauren gave me the lead. And he was like, you know, I know this director who can make a lot out of very little. You should perhaps, you know, meet with him because I think he might really understand what we're trying to do. And I'm really glad that I did meet with Hassani because then, you know, all the magic happened. And now we're here in this interview with you, Aisha.
And it all worked out, right?
Yes.
Not the greatest platform or anything. But then, you know, talking about that, the whole making something on very little. Hassani, can you talk to us how you do that? Because to be honest, that is like the mystical unicorn to most filmmakers. How do you go out there and you make a product that looks, sounds, you know, and feels good with very little?
It's all because of my mom. I grew up with a single mom, 4 sisters, and myself. And she took care of all of us. She kept a roof over our heads. She kept Halloween costumes on our back and birthdays feeling special somehow, even after she injured her back and became disabled. How can I not take on the challenge of making something feel real in the land of make-believe when my mom is doing it for real? You know, I watched her every day turn a dime into a dollar. You know, how do you take this much peanut butter and make sandwiches for 5 people? It's ridiculous. How do you take this much oil and fry chicken with it? How do you, you know, every day? And, you know, how does she fix a pair of shoes where I rip the entire sole off of it? When you see the impossible done every day because someone has to and because she's become a master of it, you really don't get intimidated by the tasks that are being asked of you on set. As a matter of fact, it's almost like you really aren't carrying on the tradition of being a badass like your mom if you don't do that. So for me, it's almost like my birthright to make situations where money isn't stretching far enough to make it wonderful, to make it special, to see how that may actually be a strength as opposed to a weakness. And so that's my mindset. It feels like it's in me. That's who I'm made of. That's what I'm made of. That's my purpose to a certain extent, my talent. In the movie, Tara's talent is her ability to code switch, her ability to be unafraid and terrifying situations. And that talent carries her on to a somewhat promising future. And I'm hoping that my skill set of being able to be undaunted by what the seemingly impossible on-screen tasks carry me on to a fruitful career.
I'm making the type of bread that's gonna give mom a better life.
You have no idea what you're getting yourself into.
I want you to tell me what's inside.
Please step out the car, man.
What's inside the bag?
I don't know!
What if I change my mind?
I'll burn the place down.
when you've got that, you know, small amount that you want to stretch, what kind of way would you, like, in a practical sense, what would you do in order to stretch the money? Would you, you know, condense your shooting days, or, you know, would you be negotiating more with people? You know, like, what kind of things do you do to make that happen?
Well, it all starts with just telling an appealing story. You'd be surprised how much people gravitate toward a project they get a feeling might take off and do something special. So, like, focusing on the story, and then, of course, being the sort of filmmaker who follows through. Those are two major things that will attract talent, both behind the camera and in front of the camera, to your project. Because people believe not only in what you've done, they believe in you. They believe in your follow through, your ability to stick with it regardless of how terrible it gets on set. They know that you are a captain worth following. And I do try to live my life in a situation where people know, no matter what, this project is getting done. When it comes down to practically how that's applied, it's just understanding the situation I'm in. I know we didn't have a big budget, but I knew it was my job to make it look like we did. So how do I move the camera the way major Hollywood studios would, but spend very little money? And, you know, I bought a hoverboard and a gimbal, and I rode the hoverboard to get a lot of shots. And you'd be surprised how, like, not having the movement of the hips makes the shot a lot more smooth. And if I just bend my knees, I can simulate crane and dolly moves, but I'm keeping up with bikes. I'm keeping up with people while they walk and talk. And, you know, sometimes I substitute the hoverboard for a wheelchair. Sometimes I'm using traditional Dana dollies. And then it's all about only showing the audience what they need to see. I was lucky because the performers that gravitated to the project are so screen worthy. They're all stars. So if you put them in the right framing with pretty foreground elements and some nice color and texture in the background, people will buy what they're seeing on screen because they're not really looking at that. They're looking at her. They're looking at Lalo. They're looking at everyone else. So I think the philosophy behind it, you know, you can even have a skeleton crew, because if your performers are killing it and your script is killing it and you're lit properly, you can even get away with major continuity issues because people are watching the actors and not what's in their hand, or the wrinkles in their shirt, or how far they're standing away from this door. There's so many scenes in Take Out Girl where, like, Tara's standing and talking with someone and then she turns her head and in real life it's 3 months later. And she's talking with a brand new actor who was never a part of the scene. And no one ever calls us on our BS because we stayed true to what was most important. And that was story, performance, and I guess you can say direction.
Fantastic. That's really, really interesting stuff. Fantastic. So, Heidi, what are you working on next? Are you working on another story at the moment? Do you think writing is now going to become a permanent part of your creative career?
I do like writing. I find myself leaning towards producing too. I was helping Hassani with this short film Blunt, and we finished shooting that this weekend. In terms of writing, I was helping my friend Justin Graves with his script called My Boo, and it's based on a folklore from his culture, Gullah culture from South Carolina. And so we've been developing that story, and it's a horror supernatural thriller, and like a dark adult fairy tale. And I really hope to make that next. And I just, you know, and that's what I'm telling all the artists, like, it's not just one lane, you know, it's not just acting, you know, you're free. This is this whole business, you know, you could stick your hands into. And I, quite frankly, I kind of like producing and like overseeing things and, you know, having all the departments come together, you know, and also being a support for Hassani on his projects and, you know, and just and learning, because he's a great coach. You know, he's a great coach in this business. And I'm just really thankful to be here in this moment right now.
And when you guys are talking about your production period, how long did you guys spend on each section, say, pre-production, and then how long did you take to actually shoot the film, you know, with everybody together, and then your post-production to being released, just so we get an idea of the timeline?
Okay, so the timeline, Hassani always has like a master timeline in his head, you know, but just like in life, things happen, you know, things have to be moved, or, you know, and when we were rewriting the script together, you know, Hassani wanted to shoot it that year. You know, he's just, he has, you know, he's always planning. And, but we also both knew that the story had to be great, you know, just like in music, you know, if the song is good, everything else sells itself. You know what I'm saying? So let's make sure the story's good. And we took our time with that one. You know, of course we were diligent. We did not slack off on the days. We were always working on it, but we worked until we knew the script was very, very strong, to the point where Hassani even sent it to like screenplay competitions just to get a feel of the feedback, you know, just so it's like a test for him too. For me, I was all, you know, I was just, you know, I had a great team member. I'm going to make it no matter what. I don't care. But he, you know, and he's so great in testing, you know, his experience. He has 10 plus years in this industry, you know, so he's been such a great partner. And I'm just learning about some things. And then, you know, and then we just move from a great story, writing it, to planning it, you know, and then that's where he takes over, because that's his field right there.
Yeah, we spent about a year workshopping the script together, our draft together. And we submitted it to the Blue Cat. We submitted it to Austin. We put it on the blacklist and we got some good feedback, but we didn't stop refining the script until about a month before we shot the film. We were still tweaking it, getting the vibe right, because the authenticity. And once again, when you don't have money, story is everything. So it took me about a year to pre-pro this thing. We did the key art right away to try and give ourselves an idea of the vibe we were going for the film, to see some of the cast members together and see what they felt like on screen together, and to build some team chemistry. I drove around for almost a year around Las Vegas to scout areas that would look like LA, and to get permission to shoot in places that would look like LA and sell as LA. So where I didn't have money, I invested a lot of time in just getting the minor details right. And we spent 15 days shooting with a small crew of about 7 or 8 people. And then we shot 25 more days with just 3 people. Myself, my cinematographer, and producer, Alberto Triana, my producer, Melissa Del Rosario, and of course, Hedy Wong, our lead actress, co-writer, and executive producer. After that, I edited for a little under a year and started submitting the film festivals, and just I refined it also while we were on the festival circuit, because we submitted as a work in progress for a little while just to try and get to, you know, hit some deadlines. And I just kept refining, even down to like getting it to the distributor, because what people are seeing at the festival circuit is very different than the film that's coming out May 18th through 1091 Pictures. So we wanted people who also saw it at the film festival circuit and took this journey with us to see some things and to see a version of the film that maybe they even haven't seen before. So when 1091 asked us for our deliverables, I was still tweaking the film to make it better and different.
Cool. So just quickly before we run out of time, if you were to give one tip to a filmmaker as succinct as possible, what would it be, each of you?
Go ahead, Sonny, you first.
I would say have an unrelenting belief in your own potential, even if it makes you come across as cocky to other people, because I would rather you start your journey believing you are the best filmmaker ever, and then have the industry smack you around for a bit and have you still feel okay, rather than you feeling okay, get smacked around for a bit, and just leave the business altogether or treat yourself poorly as a result of what we all go through, because the pain is coming. And you can count on the industry to knock you down, but you should always be able to count on yourself to pick you up. So be cocky, feel good about yourself. You're the best ever.
And to add on to what he's saying, yeah, I just encourage, you know, all artists to continue to cultivate, you know, the art, their art form, and know that this journey is always going to be a constant fight against other people's disbelief and your own disbelief, you know, and to prepare for that mentally, but knowing that, you know, it will be a fight, know that everything isn't for nothing, that is not in vain, you know, no matter what, we're all evolving, and just keep applying pressure, because something will always give.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being on the show, both of you.
Thank you, Aisha.
Thank you. Aisha, you are the best. and can't wait to do this with you on our next film.
Thanks for listening. Please subscribe to us on YouTube and follow us on your favourite podcasting platform. Visit film-forums.com for more.